Next, we have Dr. Jillian Baker.
Thank you.
I'm short.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Thank you for being here. It's early, I know, but thank you for being here with us. So today, I'm going to be talking about some research that was conducted about a couple of years ago. And the name of this presentation is Barbershops, the Black Man's Country Club, Assessing the Feasibility of an HIV Risk Reduction Program for Young African-American Men in Barbershops. I would like to acknowledge one of my colleagues, Dr. Brigitte Bronner from School of Nursing, University of Pennsylvania, who was very integral in this research as well. So let's get started. I have no relationships to disclose. So background and significance. African-American youth in the United States are disproportionately affected by HIV/AIDS. Recent data shows that among youth ages 13 to 24, African-Americans account for 60% of all reported HIV infections. Adult and adolescent African-American males account for 47% of diagnoses of HIV infection among males. And among male adolescents 15 to 19 years old, almost 39% have had more than four sexual partners in the past year. So as we can see here, these are some very risky sexual behaviors that are occurring among young African-American men. And there are still currently a lack of effective HIV STD risk reduction specifically for this population, particularly culturally relevant HIV prevention programs. So the purpose of this research was to determine the feasibility of implementing a culturally tailored HIV STI prevention program for young African-American men in barbershops, and this is also in Philadelphia. So what we did at this time was that we conducted three focus groups. Two focus groups were specifically with barbers, and one focus group was with barbershop owners. The inclusion criteria was only that they had to work in a barbershop in Philadelphia and that they worked with African-American males between 18 and 24. So this was a convenient sample. This was very small. So in total, out of the three focus groups, we had 19 participants. So again, very small. The one focus group with the barbershop owners had five owners, and the barbers, we had 14. So one focus group had six barbers, and the second focus group had eight barbers. In terms of just some demographic variables of the barbers in our study, they were on the young side. The average age was 35. 86% of them were barbers for more than 5 years. 79% were at their current barbershop for more than 1 year. 93% of them stated that 40% or more of their clientele were African-American males between 18 and 24. 79% of them said they provide over 50 haircuts weekly, and they said that half or more of their clients are regulars, and that was 86%. And the reason that we asked them these specific questions, A, we wanted to see do barbers stay at their barbershops for a long time? So if we were to develop an HIV program in barbershops, could we use the barbers that are already in the barbershops and train them to deliver the program? So how often do, you know, barbers turn over to another shop? Do they stay at their shop? Because in terms of feasibility and implementation, you really don't want a lot of turnover in staff. So that was one of the reasons we asked them that question. And then also in terms of, did they have a large population of African-American males between 18 and 24? And they did share that with us. And also the fact that the majority of their clients were regular. So are you seeing the same clients coming back? Just trying to assess what kind of relationships they had with their clients. So those were the reasons we asked them some of those questions. The owners, we asked similar questions. The owners were, again, around 35, 36. Their shops were open. 80% of them said their shop was open for more than 4 years. 40% or two owners said that they exclusively serve men. The owners said, all of them said that they had African-American males between 18 and 24 that were 40% or more of their clientele, and 60% said they served more than 40 clients a week. And the average was between 4 to 23 clients daily, so there was a range in terms of how many clients they said that they served. And I just wanted to share with you some of the themes that came from the focus groups with the barbers and the owners. So when we asked them, you know, what are some of the specific health issues that you see among the young men that come in the shop, they did emphasize that they did serve a lot of young men. And one of the barbers said, you know, they need to know about HIV and STDs because they are at risk. And some of the specific behaviors that they said they've heard from their clients is that they definitely have multiple sexual partners. And we teased that out in that they said that the males have their main partner and they also have casual partners on the side. So they're having sex with the main partner, having sex with a side partner. And we asked them, you know, well, why do you think young men are doing that? And they said, you know, the boys think that some girls have more experience than other girls. They're talking about sexual experience. They think other girls have something different than other girls. So basically saying that, you know, their main partner might be doing one thing sexually, but having side partners gives them other options in terms of just sexual experience. We also asked them, they said condom use is an issue, and we said, well, why do you think condom use is an issue with the young men? And they said, you know, a lot of the boys say that they don't like how condoms feel, so oftentimes they won't use condoms because they don't like how it feels. So one of the barbers said, young men need help, and there are not a lot of options for them. And that's absolutely true. I mean, in the literature, you know, for this specific population, there are not a lot of options. And in terms of implementation, we asked the barbers, so what do you think of an HIV-STD prevention program being offered in a barbershop? And some of the comments were, oh, this would be perfect for the African-American community. The message will get through to the clients. One barber said, everyone comes to a shop. It's the best place. So they really viewed this possible program as an opportunity to reach young men in a positive manner. One barber said, the barbershops cater to those age groups, meaning 18 to 24, and youth respect them, meaning youth respect the barbers. So youth would really listen to whatever a barber had to say. And then again, we asked them, do you think a barbershop is a good place to have the program? And one barber said, you know, the barbershop is the black man's country club. You know, we're the community, a place to open up where people tell us a lot of information. Another barber said, this is the black man's sanctuary. We are just like a bartender. Basically, you know, knowing that people will come to the barbershop to get advice from their barber, similar to, you know, going to a bar and telling a bartender all your business and trying to get some, you know, advice from them. And another barber said, you know, this is their neighborhood. Boys and barbers feel comfortable. People come to get advice. So this sense of community just really came out from the words of the barbers. And we really learned that barbers are truly respected in their communities. One barber said, you know, we're counselors, we're coaches, we're influential people. So then we asked them, well, what do you think of, you know, having barbers deliver the program, you know, versus having, you know, you could have someone else, other people get trained, bring them into a barbershop perhaps to deliver a program, but that's not, you know, a true barbershop program. You know, for us, we thought the best idea would be to have the barbers who are already in the shop implement the program. So we asked them, you know, what do you think about this idea? And overall, the consensus was, you know, having the barbers be facilitators is an excellent idea. Overall, they said that clients would want to participate if their barbers were involved. And that goes to that trust aspect. So if my barber is involved, then I'm going to feel comfortable doing this program. One barber said, you know, barbers should be the messengers. We have the confidence of the hood, meaning we have the confidence of our neighborhood. Another barber said, you know, we're exposed to all different kinds of people. We are good at interaction. And interaction is very important, important aspect for any program, particularly HIV program. And another client said, my clients talk to me about everything with their business, including girl problems. So again, getting at that aspect that we already have that kind of relationship, you know, which would be helpful to deliver an HIV prevention program. Another thing that came up is that they see themselves as counselors, or their community sees themselves as counselors. But the barbers actually perceive that part of their role is not just to be a barber, but to give back to their community. This came out very strongly in the focus groups. And particularly for young male clients, they said, you know, the young males see us as counselors and therapists already. So one barber said, you know, our words are considered when they're making decisions. They see us doing what we do without selling anything or doing something wrong. Another barber said they, meaning the young men, will listen to you. They look up to a lot of dudes on the street, but we're the next best thing. So meaning let's capitalize, you know, on this relationship that already exists. So then, you know, we asked them, you know, well, what would be, you know, barriers for barbers participating in this kind of program? And the first thing, of course, is money. And they definitely expressed that they need, you know, they would need payment to participate in this kind of program. Because, of course, it would, if they were to, you know, be a facilitator, it would take away from their time in cutting hair, and that's how they make their money. So they said, you know, we would need to be compensated for that. In terms of a schedule, they said, any program would have to be on a slow day. It cannot be on a day where we're making a lot of money. And that varied in the barbers. Some days for them, they said, were slow days were Mondays. Some said Tuesdays, so it varied. And then in terms of knowledge and training, they said, you know, we definitely have, you know, a lack of knowledge. We don't know everything about HIV, STD, so we would want to know the correct information to give to our clients, so we would need to be trained and educated in order to implement this program. So again, and then we just asked them, I think I said this already, so compensation, implement the intervention on slow days, and then provide training to the barbers. So we asked the owners the same question. So for owners, what would be some of the barriers for being a part of this program? One theme was time and availability. So not capitalizing too much on the owner's time. One owner said, well, there's some owners that don't care about youth, so that might make it hard to offer this type of program. Another thing that came up was a barrier would be not having buy-in from their barbers. So they said if their barbers are not up for this, it would be very difficult for us to implement this type of program, because they said if we were to do this program, we would need help from our staff. I would need my barbers to be a part of it. And then they also shared about the content of the program. So they said we would have to ensure that none of the content would make them lose business, would keep people from coming to the shop to come get their haircuts, because that's still, at the end of the day, how they're making their money. So in terms of strategies that we could use to encourage owners to be in the program, the owner said, you know, the concept of the program would have to be promoted in a safe way. There would have to be compensation for barbers and the owners. They said we could have owners contact other owners to help get more barbershops in the program. They also said the program would have to be run on a slow day, and another strategy they gave was to offer free advertising for the barbershops who participated. And then we asked them, well, what would make it hard for clients to be in the program, for the young men to be in the program? And they said, well, if you don't provide them incentives, that would be a problem. One barber said, well, when the guys don't want to be bothered, you might have a hard time getting them to participate. One barber said, if people don't have positive attitudes about the project. And another main theme was confidentiality concerns. So they said the young men would be really concerned that their personal business would get out if they were to be in a program. So they said, you know, you have to ensure confidentiality. So we asked them, you know, should we have this kind of program in a group? Should it be a one-on-one individual? And one barber said, boys 18 to 24, young boys, don't want to talk in a group. It has to be individual. Another barber said, one-to-one when it comes to talking about diseases. And again, another barber said clients would be willing to participate if there's compensation and confidentiality. Another idea that came up was provide free haircuts. So how about you offer the program while the client is getting a haircut? He said people will come, you know, if you give them a free haircut. So other incentives were basically offer money, a haircut, condoms. They'll want to participate. And then we asked them, well, what's the best way to recruit clients? And they said have popular people in the neighborhood, distribute flyers, have an event like a block party or a basketball tournament, use MySpace. They didn't say Facebook, they said MySpace. But this was 2 years ago, so I don't know if that makes a difference or not. word of mouth, and then provide free condoms. And then we asked them, how can we get other barbers to participate? And they said, you know, owners should contact other owners. So they basically said, you know, project staff really shouldn't be contacting other owners. You know, use us to get in touch with other owners. So capitalizing on relationships that they have. They said, you know, if we let other owners know that there will be money involved, that would make it a little easier. And then the barber said that they should also talk to other barbers too. Because even if you work at one shop, you have friends that work at other shops. So they made that very clear. And we asked them, you know, well, what messages would you want to have in this type of program if it were to be developed? And they said alcohol and drugs, condoms, HIV/AIDS knowledge, early parenting, role of men, being a man, self-esteem, STIs, and violence. And one barber said, health is your wealth. So just in conclusion, as I said earlier, young African-American men are engaging in a variety of HIV risk behaviors. There's a definite need for culturally tailored HIV prevention programs. And from the barbers and the owners that we talked to, there was just a resounding enthusiasm for this type of project to be implemented in a barbershop. Barbers serving the role of facilitators was a consensus, particularly because among young men, barbers are viewed as respected and strong male role models, so capitalizing on that relationship and then training barbers to deliver the program. And then owners also supported the use of their shops as locations for HIV STI prevention program. So this data was actually used to write a grant to NIH to have this type of program. So now the grant actually got accepted, so the grant that's being conducted based on this data is Shape Up Barbers Building Better Brothers. And barbers are being trained to deliver an HIV prevention program. This is in Philadelphia at the School of Nursing at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Loretta Jamott, so it's actually her study. So half of the barbers are going to be trained to deliver an HIV prevention program. The other half of the barbers are going to be trained to deliver a violence prevention program, which is the control. And it's actually going to be a one-on-one with a barber. And I think it's 30 minutes. And they're actually, the technology that the barber is using is an iPad. So the intervention is totally on the iPad. And the barber is conducting the intervention while he's cutting the hair. So if you want more information, come talk to me after. It's pretty cool. And that's it. So thank you.